singing the songs of Zion in a strange land. Psalm 137. By the waters of Babylon, the exiles hung their harps on the willow trees. They wept when they remembered Zion. How shall we sing the Lord's song in a strange land? Most of us here today, so although certainly not all, grew up in a land where we did not face that challenge. Singing the Lord's song was generally socially acceptable and could even be socially advantageous. Nowadays, the opposite is not yet everywhere the case, at times deceptively so. There is always lots of religion around, no dearth of idols. What religion there is less and less recognizably Christian. We are not so much confronted with secularization as de-Christianization. Ramadan can weigh heavier than Easter. There are loads of civil religion. Caesar always seeks to exploit some religious sanction. And there are usually some churchmen willing to oblige. There is a cost and a payoff. Some mention of a generic God many find exploitable for their agendas. And religion, even of this diluted sort, has its last stand in supposing that it has some moral value, at least for children. Let's have some religion in the schools, or if not religion, some echo in values. Even some of our own schools belong more to society's marketplace than to church. In a school in Michigan near Frankenland some years ago, a pastor told me that when there were some tragic deaths at that school, pastors were ignored away from caring for those they had baptized. Caesar sent in his own counselors as grief handlers, and Christian children were expected to submit to this tyranny. If there is then still some Christian-sounding talk, Calvary and Easter do not make all the difference. If they do get a mention, it may be as little more than as some sort of metaphor of human suffering and hope. And human slips then further to a zoological distinction among the primates. Rid of God, humans are animals. In the media, God has become mostly a nothing word. When how we speak and think, if we still do think, is supplied by the media, even Christian people sometimes are heard to explain, "Oh God," and are surprised then if you ask them, "What does he have to do with it?" Some echo, "Whence?" Those who live in an alien world are exiles only if they remember where home is. By the waters of Babylon, there we sat down and wept when we remembered Zion. If they forgot Zion, they would be completely lost. They were Zion people. Zion was the place where the Lord committed himself to be there for them. The place of which thou hast said, "My name shall be there." That is the place where there is forgiveness. But who wants forgiveness when it is power we are after? Power for our plans and projections, power by use of God's name. To get control of God's name, we have to detach it from where he has put it. To consolidate his control of the northern kingdom, Jeroboam set up substitute Zions with their altars and liturgies, which did not have the name as mandated by the Lord. Similarly, Aaron had pretended, putting the Lord's name on the golden calf. That was what the people wanted, and it was a huge success. And what's more, it burst the budget. All the people took off their rings of gold which were in their ears and brought them to Aaron. Aaron said it was for the Lord. Tomorrow shall be a feast to the Lord. And there were songs appropriate to that celebration. To to start off with, they were almost sounding like Zion songs. They had commandeered the name of the Lord and used it in the way of Canaanite religion. And having trashed the Lord, they fell to trashing one another in ways which Hollywood knows well will surely help to sell a film or a sermon. With a little spin here and a little spin there, things can be made to fit the popular demand, the market survey. In Babylon, the demand was to go for the charts. Sing us one of the songs of Zion. To be applauded, to be accepted, puts heavy pressure on exiles and immigrants. If their captors could take over and get control of their songs, then indeed they would have possession and control of them, the Zion people. But that could not be so long as they remembered Zion, the remembering which lived on in the songs of Zion, songs born of the name of the Lord. The Lord puts his name where he puts his name. With the Aaronic blessing, he put his name upon those who were thus his own, his people. He has put his name on us with the water of holy baptism. No longer Mount Zion, but where he is doing his name as he has pledged himself to do it, at his font, his altar, his pulpit. At your ordination, dear candidates, you will be put into the pulpit office, the altar office, the absolution office, and the font office. That is where Zion is now, where the Lord is beyond doubt doing his means of grace. That is surely what the liturgy is worth. Take the means of grace out of the liturgy and what's left, check it out. There, the means of grace are his located instruments for the delivery of the salvation he won for us at Calvary, AC 4. And for their going on, he instituted the office of the holy ministry, not for its own sake, but for the service of the holy baptism, holy communion, holy absolution. AC 5, 14 and 28, where they are going on, there the means of grace are going on, and with holy instrument, means and office, we confess what is the Lord's and his doing. As the means of grace, there he is mandated to be there for you. That is where our Zion is located. When people come out of church, they can only then exclaim, "There's not any place else like that. What a Savior. His name upon us, our sins forgiven, our Lord's words into us carrying what they say, his body and blood alive in us. Nothing like it anywhere else." I was glad when they said to me, "Let us go to the house of the Lord." Gifts received live on in our lives and callings, putting us at odds with an alien world, unfearing, what can man do to us? This recognition comes the more clearly as we more clearly recognize that we live in a strange land, an alien world, even an undermining and antagonistic world, and the more sinisterly so when attempting in seeming friendship to co-opt what remains of Christian heritage in our society, as when for entertainment they demand, "Sing us one of the songs of Zion." Ponder what has happened to the heritage of the Negro spirituals. "Pastor, would you say a few opening words of prayer?" But do keep it generic and interfaith. God's name diluted to generic and in conversation a nothing word and yet exploitable for political purposes. Should we weep? Should we remember? What should we remember? There is a time for weeping, but never for its own sake. In Babylon they wept when they remembered Zion. When we remember, is it Zion we remember? There is a good deal of sighing for the good old days when you didn't have to hesitate so much to confess Jesus is the Lord, when a pastor counted for more than a social decoration, and involvement in civic affairs did not demand vague religious talk and generic God. The worst of sighing too much about the good old days is that while we are doing that, we may be shirking what is ours to do today and what resources we'll be most in need of tomorrow. No need to sharpen the skills to kill yesterday's dead horses. But if horses be heresies, we shall likely meet them again, differently tricked out and trying some other moves, deep guile and great might. Nothing new under the sun. Even if our computers can handle the so-called millennium, only the Lord can create something new. That pulls us always forwards. As a backward escape, the good old days get gooder the more we want to escape. Or worse still, we reconstruct our history to render it exploitable to our purposes. Treasure your church historians. We may not blink or spin our history. There's nothing there of our doing that doesn't need to be forgiven. Forgiven, we are then no longer in bondage to it as in having to prove that what we did was right. If the Son shall set you free, you will be free indeed. The recent history of this seminary has shown that despair of the Lord has no place in the life of faith. Looking at themselves and their resources, they were a lost cause in Babylon. Had the Lord forgotten them? Nevertheless, they called on the name of the Lord. They remembered the songs of Zion, and so they were not lost. They were his people. They held the Lord to his name. You can tell it's a Zion song when it's a Lord's song. Just listen. Is it from the Lord and toward the Lord, or just swirling around us? Fifth little piggy songs, and worse even than wee is me, me, me. The songs of Zion are born from his name, which has in it all he says and does with it. We see this in the Psalms, which we go on singing in company with the exiles, and in the continuity of the songs and hymns, ancient and modern, which grow out of his name. With such songs of Zion, there is nothing then that we need to fear to face. Only what we disconnect from him can destroy us, as prayers disconnected from him, not out of his name. O Lord of hosts, how long wilt thou be angry with thy people's prayers? Thou hast fed them with the bread of tears and given them tears to drink in full measure. Thou dost make us the scorn of our neighbors, and our enemies laugh among themselves. Remember this song of Zion when you have need to pray it, when clearly there's nothing to do but to repent, pray, and know that there is no other help but in the Lord only. Restore us, O Lord of hosts. Let thy face shine that we may be saved. Those who know thy name put their trust in thee. I give thanks to thy name for thy steadfast love and thy faithfulness. For thou hast exalted above everything thy name and thy word. He has put his name on you, and he cannot desert it. Therefore will not we fear, though the earth be removed. There is a river, not of Babylon, but of baptism, which makes glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacle of the Most High. Ask ye, who is this? Jesus Christ it is. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge and our strength. With joy you will draw water from the wells of salvation, and you will say in that day, give thanks to the Lord, call upon his name, make known his deeds among the nations, proclaim that his name is exalted. Sing praises to the Lord, for he has done gloriously. Let this be known in all the earth. Shout and sing for joy, O inhabitant of Zion, for great in your midst is the Holy One of Israel.